My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you. Just a few things. I invite you next week to come. We have a baptism service, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be right here in this house. And it's a wonderful celebration. We do it about once a year in-house. And then in the summer, we go to a pool, and we do it outside of the church house. But wherever we go, the church is. And so we want to invite you to come and celebrate. Also invite someone that maybe has never been baptized before or doesn't know Jesus. This would be an amazing service for them to come to. Honestly, every service when we come together would be amazing. Today is actually an amazing day to find the love of our Father. But next week's going to be incredible. I just want to say a few things. This month we're in a new series, and it's titled The Prodigal Son. The Prodigal Son, The Wayward Child, The Lost Son, however you know the name of this story. I want you to be careful that the story doesn't become familiar to you to the point where you just block out its deep truths. I pray we return to Jesus' story with a soft heart and an open mind, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us back home, home to where our Father lives. If you want to get your notes out today, you can open up your app, YouVersion. You can go down to More, and you can go to Events, and you can find our church on their First Open Bible Church, and you can follow along today and click save. Before I get into the word today, and we are going to open up to Luke chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, third book of the New Testament. It is called a gospel. Gospel tells us the good news of Jesus, how he was born, how he lived, how he died, and how he rose again, and then what the church did after that and in that. I love the Gospels. This is the third one. Luke chapter 15. 15 is the big number. So we can find the same spot. And we're actually going to be starting in verse 11. That's the little numbers right in the middle of all the things. But we're going to start there in a second. Before we start there, I just want to honor a wonderful woman that passed away this last week. Her name was Bonnie Hansen. She was an elder here at the church. She might have been 5 foot tall and maybe not even a buck in weight. But she was like a tiny stick of dynamite. She could wreck things for the Lord, and she was wonderful. She was a Christian counselor most of her life, and she was just a wonderful woman of God. And she served this church at the highest level as being an elder. She was one of the first women to ever be in eldership here at First Open Bible. And so we've been around since 1942. She set a tone. She was lovely. She was a lovely woman. And even to the very end, she served her Savior, and now she's in the arms of her Savior. And I just want to lift the family up in prayer before I get into the word today. Eldon is her husband. They've been married for many years. She has multiple children. And she was an absolute blessing. So I just want to pray. We're going to have a service on Saturday for her. If you knew her, it'd be a great time to honor her. But most of all, honor the Lord. She wanted a celebration service, not a funeral. So she was specific about. And by the way, when I die, I want the exact same thing. If y'all just moping and crying, that is not what I want to go out with. I want to go out with a party, right? Okay, that's how I want to do it, right? I want to worship the Lord. I want to give God glory. I want to give him everything. And that's exactly what Miss Bonnie wanted. She wanted the word to be preached. And she wanted God to be celebrated. Because that's exactly how her life was. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this family. I thank you for this service. I thank you for this time. I just lift up everybody that knew her, her family, her friends, even her coworkers, her pickleball friends even. God, everybody that she knew. I don't think there was a soul that said, oh, I don't like Miss Bonnie. She was a gem. God, you plucked the greatest ones. And I just thank you that she's with you in your hands. I thank that she's in your embrace. Fully and completely. Father, there's no sorrow for her right now. She is made whole and new and alive. But this side of heaven, there's people that are grieving. Your word tells us over and over again that you come to the brokenhearted and you mend our hearts. And you're the comforter. And you bring us love and comfort in this time. There's other people that lost people here today. And I just lift up everybody who has lost somebody, even most recent. We pray right now, Holy Spirit, be a comfort to our hearts and our souls. Let us know that you are real, you are alive, and you love us. May you wrap us in your loving arms this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Luke 15, man, that's a powerful, life-transforming chapter in the written word of God. I want us to read the prodigal parable again together right now. It's the most famous story. It could be argued as the most famous story that Jesus ever told. It's in Luke 15, 11 through 32. I'm going to read it in the NLT. So Jesus says this, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. He said, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. Verse 17. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and he kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Verse 22. But his father said to the servant, quick. Right? All his servants, quick. He didn't even acknowledge what he said. Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Now, if he's working with pigs, he's probably dirty. You ever think about that? I just thought about that right now. He's probably nasty. He's probably stinky. And he's full of all kinds of worldly things. And the father grabs the greatest robe and says, put it on him. Come on now. Get a ring for his finger and a sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We have been preparing. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Meanwhile, oh, don't you love the meanwhiles in life? God did an amazing thing. Meanwhile, you did what? Okay, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother's back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return. Verse 28, the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even a young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf? Father, you don't know what you're doing. Verse 31, his father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a hand. Now, I love this story. I love this story. It's a powerful story. I remember hearing this story for the first time in my life, and I'm like, that's me, I'm the prodigal. Oh, Father, can you love me like that? See, I remember this story. I love this story, but I have some questions. Here's some questions. I wonder what the younger son was feeling as he packed his bags. I wonder what he was thinking and saying to himself as he left. Was he excited to leave? Or was he nervous? What made the younger son choose to leave? Was he leaving to make a name for himself? Why did he run away? Also, I wonder how many days the father cried himself to sleep after his son left. I also wonder if the father watched for him every day. How long was he gone? Did the father ask his family and his servants, hey, I need you to be on the lookout because I'm on the lookout. I need your help too. Now, what about the older brother? What did the older brother think when his baby brother left? Did he try to talk his younger brother out of it, or was he glad that he left? Did the older brother ever desire for his little brother to return home? Now, I don't know the answers to these questions, but somehow I feel like I've had to answer some of these questions myself. I've had to answer these questions in my faith journey like this. I once was like the older brother, and I wished that the problem child or that difficult person in my life would just go away. I didn't desire to see them become whole. I didn't desire for them to be healed because I was selfish and I was prideful. Also, as a Christian and a pastor, I've watched and prayed every day for some wayward ones to return home, to come back to the Father's house, to be made whole, to be healed. I have yelled, don't run that way. It's going to destroy your life. You know better. But man, when I get down to it, the prodigal's parable, I remember my rebellious journey when I ran away from my father's house. I remember being away from that house, that was a hard time in my life. A time that was full of escapes and full of shame. A journey in my life I felt like a lifetime ago, but one I have not easily forgotten. I want us to highlight a verse really quick. This is the most important verse today. It's verse 17. Luke 15:17. Go back to it real quick and highlight that. If you have your own word today, this is a great one to highlight. It says this, talking about the prodigal son when he ran away. He's finding himself in the pig pen, and it says this in the word. It says, when he finally came to his senses. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants, the lowest people in my father's house have enough food to spare. And here I am in the world and I'm dying. I love it. When the prodigal finally came to his senses, you know what he realized? He realized there's no better place to be than in his father's house. The money and the pleasures of the world have now dried up. The famine has come over the land, but somehow it didn't affect the father's house. Did you catch that? There was more than enough to spare where his dad is. Church, sin is fun for a season. Oh, it's fun. Sin is fun. But its road leads to destruction, addiction, and shame. Church, I want to ask you a question. Have you come to your senses yet? Well, Pastor, I've been saved for a while, but why are you still in addiction? Have you come to your senses yet? Why are you still depressed? Why are you still down and out? Why are you still doing the things of the world if you come to your senses? Maybe you haven't come to your senses yet. Have you realized yet what you have been searching for is not found outside the Father's house? Are you tired of running? Are you tired of doing this all on your own? Are you tired of feeling alone, empty, and ashamed? I think it's time we have some self-awareness today. And we say this, enough's enough. Enough's enough. I need to make my way back home. I have gone far enough. I want to be healed. I want to be whole. I want to be where my Father is. Amen? Now, if we go a little bit deeper in this story, maybe like going a little bit deeper than what you just read in the Word. Anybody? Come on. If you like to say hallelujah. I like to go a little bit deeper in God's Word. If we go a little bit deeper in this story, here's what I think we're going to discover. We're going to discover that the heart of this story is about self-awareness and self-discovery. This is a story that should make us all come to the end of ourselves. We need to realize the Father, and the Father alone is what we need. It doesn't matter if you're the younger brother or if you're the older brother. Whatever brother you are right now, you need to realize all you need is the Father. Now, there's two main things that stand in the way of our prodigal redemption. Number one is this. You are still running in the wrong direction because guess what? You love your sin. You love it. No, I hate it. No, you love it. Why, how do I know you love it? Because you keep feeding it. Oh, but I hate what I do. Then why do you keep doing it? It's because you love it. Okay, that's number one. Number two is this. What's standing in the way of our prodigal redemption? This is this one. You are bound by shame and you don't know who you truly are. Number one is this. If you still love your sin, guess what? I can't help you. There's nothing I can say to you today that will help you. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, but I cannot hold your hand in life. That's not my job. You know, free will can be both a blessing and a curse. It's your choice to choose the free will of salvation, the free gift of salvation, and the gift of freedom. Or what you can do is you can deny those gifts and you can keep running. I just want you to know this. You will always struggle if you keep believing you will be unconditionally loved by conditional things. Church, I'm preaching today. I don't know if y'all hearing it. Oh, I'll say that again. Yeah. In a second. Say again. Yes, ma'am. I think sometimes we get the wrong impression of why we come to church. Now, I want to come to church and I want to feel God's love and I want to know God's love. But my job up here is not to pat you on the back every day. It's to keep course correcting your life so you keep running to the cross. That is my job. And I will always preach like that. If you like it or not, that's just the way that we are. Sometimes we need built up and sometimes we need encouraged. But we always need to be met with the cross. We always got to be reminded that, guess what? We're not as good as we think we are. He's good and we need him. So I'm going to preach today. Here you go, ma'am. Miss Marilyn, here you go. I want you to know this. You will always struggle in life if you keep believing you'll be unconditionally loved by conditional things. Why? Because those things, they keep letting you down because those things were meant to keep you down. When life becomes all about self, love becomes a manipulation. By the way, these are tiny bombs. Kind of like a little Bonnie everywhere. Just bam, 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 right? Boom. A little dynamite for the Lord. See, when your life becomes all about you, your love becomes a manipulation. You're living and believing a lie. You're going in the wrong direction. You are lost, even if you don't know it. When you love your sin, you will find yourself one day like the younger brother found himself, going from pure pleasure to necessary survival. The prodigal left the safety of his father's home to run to the no boundaries of the world, and he found himself in a place that was desperate, and he found himself in a place that was forbidden. Why? Because pigs, to Jews, they're unclean animals and forbidden to be eaten. Yes, I said it. Jewish people cannot have bacon. A moment of silence for them right now. And geez, Father, just be with them right now. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's all you're going to remember today, huh? Okay. Oh. Jesus, if you need to wipe it from their mind, let it be. And God said, well, you said it. See, to Jews, a pig is an unclean animal and forbidden to be eaten. But the prodigal finds himself in a pig pen as a companion with what he knows is forbidden and what he knows is unclean. Deep down, church, I know that you know what you are doing is wrong. When will you come to your senses and listen to the voice of God? I want to say, all of you in the Father's house, when you pass away, I want to ask you, when are you going to turn from your sins and run to God? It's time to stop feeding what is forbidden. Because if you keep going down this sinful road, you too one day will find yourself in a famine. One day you are going to realize you are lost, you are desperate, and you need to be found. But today, I want to remind you that today you could choose forgiveness and you can come to your senses and stop living in your sin and stop loving your sin more than you love God. It's time to humble yourself to find yourself. Because if you do, we, First Open Bible, followers of God, followers of Jesus, we can help you find your way back home, home to where the Father lives and where you truly belong. All right, this is number two. Today you might feel like you find yourself struggling to find your prodigal redemption. You're finding yourself struggling to find your prodigal freedom because of your shame and your self-contempt. You find yourself hurt and you find yourself bound right now. Some of you are really good at hiding your chains. You dress them up in Sunday clothes. Come on. Some of you feel stuck in shame and you feel like you deserve the pain that you're experiencing. Today I want to kick the kingdom of darkness in the mouth. I want to expose the lies, the curses, and the voices of shame that you have believed. Are you ready? Wonderful. 13 people are ready. The rest of you are scared. First Open Bible, a place to be scared for Jesus. You know what should be scared? Your flesh. Because we're rocking your flesh right now. The spirit must rise up. Your flesh must be crucified. Some of you want somebody else to carry your cross, and that's not their. Oh, come on. It's not their job. That's your job. Where am I at? Oh, yeah, I'm kicking the kingdom of darkness in the mouth. Cacow! What? We're going to expose the lies, the curses, and the voices of shame that you have believed. Do you feel today that you are unable to receive true redemption? That God can actually love you, He can actually change you, that God can actually heal you, that God can actually make you whole? You don't believe it. There's no way that all these things that I've done in the pig pen can actually be forgiven, that they can actually be washed away. I don't 100% believe it. I do not believe that I can be 100% clean. There's somebody in the house today that says this to themselves: no matter how many times I'm washed in the blood, I feel dirty, I feel unworthy, and I feel shameful. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to come to your senses? Do you really want to be clean? Do you want to understand that you are actually clean? Do you want to be clean? Do you want to actually understand that you are clean in Jesus? See, it's one thing to say something. It's one thing to know something. Some of y'all don't know it because you don't act like it and you don't live in it. And we're about to break that off right now. You ready? Come on, back row. I didn't see anybody clapping in the back row. Come on, back row. You know, back row's my favorite row. That's where the sinners sit, but it's also where people with little bladders sit too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you I'm exposed to lies of the enemy. moving on. Right there. Okay. You know what John 10:10 says? That the devil, right? The thief, it says he comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, he says, I have come to give them life and life to the fullest, or to give them abundant life. See, the enemy comes only. Church, say only. Only. Sometimes you think he's your friend. No. He comes only to kill you, to steal you, and to destroy you. That's all he is here to do. That's it. And sometimes you help him out. Woo! Sometimes you don't even need the devil because you are your worst enemy. Hey. You don't need the devil. You don't need his demons. Instead of being an ally and a friend to God, the way that you speak about yourself and what you believe about yourself, you're an ally of the enemy. Kick the devil in the mouth today. Yeah. Without kicking your neighbor, somebody, without kicking your neighbor, kick something. You know, kick that devil in the mouth right now. Anybody? Front row only. He's like, I don't have enough room in these things. All right, you just knee him. Knee him in the face. Okay. Hallelujah. I don't know what self-talk you have in your mind, but I want you to know that self-contempt is not humility. It's not of God, and it's from the thief. What is self-contempt, Pastor? It's feeling of intense dislike or disgust for oneself. It's when we become consumed by self unconsciously, and we cut ourselves down, we sabotage love and success, and we isolate ourselves from healthy relationships. Your self-hatred is birthed from your shame. And it will never cleanse you. It'll never cleanse you. Because you can never forgive your own sins. Come on now. You can never pay enough penance for what you have done. See, that kind of thinking is outside of the Father's house. You've allowed the evil one to hijack your inner monologues. You've allowed the thief to steal your inner monologues. What's a monologue? It's a talk between yourself. Dialogue? Well, it's kind of a monologue right now, except when you say amen, it feels like we're together. Okay. Why? You, Church, so many of you have believed and lived a lie. You desire to be a slave when God desires for you to be a son. You desire to be a slave when God desires for you to be a daughter. Come to your senses and stop letting things that didn't create you to define you. I gotta keep trucking here. Hallelujah. I'm gonna shake off some stuff today. You know, shame and guilt are not the same thing. Shame and guilt are not the same thing. Guilt focuses on behavior and shame focuses on self. Here's what guilt says. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shame says, I'm sorry, I am a mistake. See the big difference? Shame is fear that something we have done or failed to do makes us unworthy of connection. But I want to let you know today, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus. There ain't nothing you have done, said, or gone. There is no place that has separated you from the love of God. You have believed a lie. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says this, I am convinced, it's about time you come to your senses and be convinced that nothing can separate us, me, from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the fears of today or the worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Ain't nothing. Hey, does anybody want to do a dance? I don't know how y'all sitting there. I don't know. Nothing you have done can separate you from the love of God. Church, say nothing. Now say it like a Pentecostal. Nothing. Nothing. Ain't nothing. You got to get a little in there, right? Ain't nothing, right? A little stank on it. Okay, moving on. Nothing. Got to get one of those faces too, right? A little stank face. Okay, moving on. Anyway, okay. You know, shame is not from the Father. It's from the thief. It's time to come to your senses and know that you are not a mistake and you have not gone too far. You are precious and you are loved and you're made on purpose for a purpose. No matter what you have done, God still loves you and he forgives you. No matter what you did today, no matter what you're thinking right now and what you're about to do tomorrow, no matter what, he accepts you as you are and he wants you to come to his loving arms and stop running from him. Shame and self-contempt do not have to be your story anymore. You must face your false dependencies, your destructive monologues, and you really got to face the lies that you have believed. Yeah, you've believed lies, and you've lived out these lies, but I want to remind you this morning, they're lies. You think you're dirty, you think you're unlovable, you think you're incapable of dignity and undeserving of mercy. Shame wants to keep you bound in your depression and your self-hate and your suicidal tendencies and your anxiety and your eating disorders and violence and in addictions. One of the greatest deceptions you may believe is this. You should feel the shame for what you have done, like you deserve it. Church, it's a lie. Jesus has taken away your shame and your guilt. The Bible says in Colossians 2, 14 and 15, he canceled the record of the charges against us and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. It says, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers of authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You know who got the shame? The devil got the shame. Yeah, eat that, bruh, right? Felt good. See, Jesus took away your shame. He nailed it to the cross. You can experience wholeness, and you can actually understand that you are clean. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't even matter. People on death row can be made clean. if people on death row can be made clean, then I can be made clean. You can be made clean. It's nobody too far gone. But you to the end of yourself, and you have to stop running from the Father's love. The shame of the prodigal will have your life no more. The shame is gone. You have been set free. Amen. Somebody right now needs to say, I am set free. I don't know if you believe it. If you feel it right now and you say, you know what, my shame is gone, I'm set free. I want you to say, I am set free.
I am set free.
No, no, no. No, I don't think you know. I don't think you know. Oh, Miss Marilyn knows, but people around you, I don't know if they know. Do they know? You know the back row? I don't know the back row knows. You know? What I know is they can get out of here quick. That's what I know. I ain't going to talk to nobody today. I'm getting out of here. Does anybody know that I'm made clean and I'm set free? If you set free, say, I'm set free.
I'm set free.
Now you got to live with it. You got to live in it. You got to walk it out. Set free. My shame is gone. I have been set free. Our Father's looking for sons and daughters, not slaves. In His arms, you are set free. Anything outside of that, you're bound. But you got to understand who you are. He wants to wash you. He wants to clean you. He wants to love you like you have never been loved before. I love it. When the prodigal son came to himself, what he expected is not what he received. Expecting to be just a low servant was met with extravagant love from his father. Not met with disdain and disgust, but instead met with appreciation and love. Going from feeding what is forbidden to being transformed into what he did not deserve. I don't know about you, but he went from shame to fame, from pain to purpose. And he was once lost, but now he's found. Church, that's our God. That's who we serve. I don't know about you, but I didn't deserve this. I get to walk in my purpose every single week. I don't deserve this. That's our God. You got to run back to Him. Some of y'all a little, I don't know if I want to, and you're barely even walking to Him. When you gonna run? When are you gonna say, I've come to the end of myself? I've tried it all. I've tried it all. I've tried it all. I keep trying. I keep trying to break this and break that and get out of this. And I'm searching here and I'm searching there. Stop. It's never going to fulfill you. Not once. Not never. Turn around. Head back home. Quit running. It's crazy that this prodigal son, his shame wanted to keep him fed on the garbage and the slop of the world when God had a feast waiting for him at home. But what would it take for this prodigal to get back home? How could he finally find himself going in the right direction? It's this, desperation. Is anybody desperate anymore for God? That is the biggest crutch that we have in America, is we have everything we want and we can just drive and go get it. Some of y'all don't even pray before you take medicine. I just pop that pill. Who needs God? I just run to the doctor. Who needs prayer? Oh, I lost this. I went through that. Who needs God, right? I can just do it on my own. That is the biggest, most hardest thing to struggle with in America. We not only have everything we want, we also abuse everything that we have. We go above and beyond. Nobody is like, yeah, take things in moderation. No, we go all out all the time. And here's the problem. We leave no room for the provision of God. We got to be desperate again for God. The prodigal found himself in desperation, and then he found self-awareness. Wow, I'm eating this, or I can't even eat this. I'm with the pigs. But at my father's house, I could even be a low servant, at least get some bread. Wow, look where I'm at, but also look where I could be. And then it took humility. Everyone's favorite. Let me tell you, you're never going to experience the presence of God if you're never going to humble yourself. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Somebody in here today, that's the problem. You're not humble. You're not desperate. And you refuse to be self-aware. I want to tell you today, come to your senses. Today's a good day to come to your senses. This is not the life that the prodigal was meant to live, and this is not the life that you were meant to live either. Church, there's so much more. There's healing that must take place, but it cannot happen outside of the Father's house. The prodigal road leads back to God if we repent, if we turn from our wicked ways and we return home. Dear prodigal, return to the one that truly understands you. Dear prodigal, return to the one, the only one that can transform you in his embrace. It takes just one touch from God, just one touch, and your life will forever be changed. It's time to stop running in the wrong direction, but first you must expose the unhealthy attachments, the evil mindsets, the addictions, and the shame. And then you need to present it to Jesus so he can wash it away. Here it is, God. I have believed a lie. I don't believe that I'm beautiful. I don't believe that I'm precious. I don't believe that all those things I've said and done to those people or those things that have been done to me, I don't feel clean, but God, here it is, wash it. Make me clean. I want to realize your real love. I'm tired of just hearing about it. I want to know it. We got to recognize our shame by first identifying what, okay, somebody's asking the question, what is shame? How do I know I have shame? Here's how we recognize our shame. This is the last part. Here's how we recognize our shame. We identify what we're most silent about. Church, what stories do you choose not to tell? What do you try to hide? And when somebody says something close to your shame, when do those tears start coming? You got to identify your shame. That's the first step to reconciling it. Here's the second. It's time to share your shame story. When we break the silence of our shame, it loses the power to define us. I don't know about you, but I want to reclaim good from evil. I want to exchange my shame for God's glory. See, when you do this, when you realize the shame that you have, and then you share that shame story as God is not only revealing it in your life, but he's healing in your life, or it has been healed, you're no longer going to be controlled by your shame, and you're no longer going to be defined by your sin. I love this. Full restoration is available to those who don't just believe, but those who come running to receive it. You know your walk with Jesus isn't just about believing. Oh, pastor, but it says, confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he was raised from the dead, and I shall be saved. That's right. That's the beginning. But for some of you, that's the only place you've ever lived. Just believing. You just believe. You believe, believe, believe. But Jesus said more. He said, come and follow me. You can't just believe and be saved. You have to believe and then do something about your salvation. If you're not following Jesus, you don't believe Jesus. Woo! You got to walk with him. You got to talk with him. You got to know him. And where's Jesus going? He's going to the Father's house. I love this. You know where Jesus is going? He's going to the Father's house. But you know what he's doing? He's taking people with him. Scoop them up, baby. Scoop them up. We got to go. Hey, there's a party. You all want to be a part of this party? It's way better than that party. See, that high only lasts that long. This high lasts for eternity. Come with me. Come with me. Hey, come with me. Hey, this is where I'm going. You want to go? You tired of being? Hey, pig pen kid, come on over here. Ooh, here's a robe. Take that nasty stuff up. You know, your robes of nasty, he's going to put some righteousness on you. Come with me. We're going to the Father's house. I was thinking about this morning. I get some good revelation in the shower. I was thinking about this. I was like, okay, I'm seeing the prodigal and I'm seeing the Father's house. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible talks about that the Father's preparing all these places and he's preparing them for us. And at the right time, he's going to take us back home. And I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking, you know what? I can experience the Father's love. But I was like, how does that work here on earth before I go to heaven? And this is what I pictured. In this prodigal story, we're all lost and we're all in the world. And some of us are turning back and we're coming back to the Father. And we're walking in the right direction. And then here on earth, we're experiencing the Father's love as he meets us. And then he meets us and he puts a ring and a robe and some sandals on us. And then he tells everybody, look who's home. My son that was lost, my daughter that was lost has been found. They were dead, but now they're alive. But you know, we don't actually experience the party. The banqueting table, I know there's going to be candy. I know it. There's no way I love candy so much that ain't going to be in heaven. No way. Ain't going to be no diabetes either. Mm-mm. Is it pancreas, right? That pancreas. I'm going to, Holy Ghost pancreas. Hallelujah. It's like, just keep feeding me sugar. I don't care. Okay. But see, here on earth, we're going to realize that love of the Father, but then one day, just like Miss Bonnie, she walked into the Father's house. And she is realizing the party that all of us, if you're not only a believer, but you're one that walks with Jesus, right? There's one thing about being a Christian. There's another thing about being a Christ follower. They're different. God's not looking for converts and people to attend church. He's looking for Christians who go out and disciple and do what he did, right? So I love that right now, even at this very moment right here, church, will you stand with me? Brent, you can come. Please. I want you to know that the Father is the answer to everything you've been searching for. I don't care how far you have traveled. Some of you are like, Pastor, I haven't traveled very far, but you've taken 5 steps out of the house. You've taken 5 steps away from the Father, and some of you have taken 5 miles, and some of you are 5 countries away. Wherever you are at, you can realize the Father's love today. So I want to ask you a question, church. Will you lower the lights, please? Does anybody want to come to their senses? Does anybody want to come to their senses today? Because if you want to come to your senses, God's going to ask you to step out in faith and do something about it. So if that's you today and you say, listen, I got to know God's love in a different way. I've got to realize not only his love, but understand it and walk in it. I'm tired of believing the lies. But first, if you're a wayward person, what does that mean? You've gone away from the Father's house. You've searched for love and answers in all the wrong places. If that's you today, I want to tell you, come. Come back to where you belong. Come back to the Father. That's you today. Please come forward. I want to pray for you in a second. Come on over. I've gone too far. I want to come back home. That's you today. Come on. Maybe you've never done this before. Maybe you've done it before. Come back to the Father. Okay? Amen. The next group of people. You're here. Now this is for everybody else that says this: I need to come to my senses. I've been lost in shame. I've believed a lie. Here's another thing. Church, some of you right now are thinking, oh, it's a small lie. A lie's a lie. Little white lie. Little white lie that sends you to hell. Little white lie. What a big blue lie? I mean, what are we naming here? Even if you believed a small lie, that you believe that you're not worthy, that you're not loved, that you can't be clean, you can't be set free, that you can't be delivered, that whatever you believe that you haven't fully realized, right now it's time to come to your senses. He wants to wash you clean. If that's you, I want you to come up. Come up. Come on up. Right? Act out of faith. Come on up. I need to be delivered from this lie. I want to kick the devil in the teeth. I also am tired of believing things in my own mind that are not true from the Word of God. That I am loved. That I am important. That everything I've ever done, it doesn't matter today. It's all gone. It's washed in the blood. It's all gone. You're made brand new. And never again will that be on you. Never again. Come on up. Come on up. Prayer teams, will you come up here and help me? I'm going to pray here in a second. Church, I just want you to extend your hands. If you're feeling a tugging, there's some people in here right now, you're feeling a tugging. I feel nervous. I don't want to come up. Listen, your act of faith will free you. I don't want to go up front. I don't know these people. They're weird looking. I know. You're weird looking too. Come on up. No, seriously, this is a great place to be. We love you. And for anybody who's walked with God before, we've all been here before. I want to be clean. I want to be clean. All right, if you're at the front here and you want God to make you clean and to remind you of who you are and to realize the Father's love, I want you to put your hands up in the air like this. It's an international sign of surrender. Just put your hands up. I want to lead you in a prayer. And then we have prayer teams to help walk you out. They're going to be up here at the front. They're facing you. Some of them are very kind and some are super kind. But they love you and they've been praying for you and they're excited. Today's a great day. And some of you today, if you've given your heart to Christ for the first time and you've never been baptized in water, if you've never been baptized in water and this is the day that you're giving your heart to Christ or you're giving your heart to Christ again, I want to invite you next week to be a part of our baptism service. It's an outward sign of an inward work. It's going to be incredible. The whole church is going to celebrate with you. If you want to do that, please call the church office. This week, we want to get your name down. If you don't want to, you just want to show up, I don't care. I'll baptize you anyway. Amen. Just don't wear white, please. Don't wear white. Hallelujah. Moving on. Father, I love you so much. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you that when we run back to you, no matter how far away we are, you come running to us and you meet us as well. And you embrace us, not with shame, not with pain, not with disgust, not reminding us of what we've done, but you come with compassion and love. And then when we say the terrible things we've done, you don't even listen to it. And you tell all of heaven to say, hey, listen, prepare a place. Hey. My son, my daughter, they were lost, but now they're found. Kill the fattened calf. Throw a party. Never again will you be full of shame. Right now, I speak against shame by the blood and by the power of Jesus. I break it off in your mind right now. I break it off in your mouth. And anything those people have said about you and have done to you before, right now, it's gone. It's washed as white as snow. And here's your job. Stop thinking about it. Stop believing it. That is not truth. That's a lie. They were working with the devil, not with your Father. Don't listen to people who work with the devil. Listen to people who work with the Father. Amen. Break that off in your mind right now. You need somebody up here in the front right now needs to say that I am beautiful. I want you to say it outside, out loud. If you feel that right now, it feels like the opposite of what you believe about yourself. Say it right now, I feel beautiful. I am beautiful. Say it. I am beautiful. Now I want you to say this, I am clean. I'm clean. I want you to say this, if you're feeling this, say, that stuff's gone. That's gone. That's my past. That's not me now. That's not my future. I'm following the Father. That's no longer my destiny. That's not who I am. I'm a son, if you're a man. I'm a daughter of the King. I am loved. I am made right. Father, I lift up these people to you right now. Free them. It says in your word that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I pray right now that Jesus, not only do they know it, they will realize your freedom right now. It is gone. Shame is gone. They are going to walk out of this house lighter, freer than ever before. They will not have to go back to those things, those dirty things that have been done, those people they've slept with, that drugs they've done, the drunkenness, the alcohol abuse, the pain, the hurt, the lies of the enemy, the drugs, all of it is gone. It's gone. The things that they've said about you, the things that you've done and the hurt that you've caused, it's gone. It's done. It's under the blood. It's washed. You are new, 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 you are new. That is not you, you are new. Hey, you are new. Oh yeah, yeah, that was the old Harris. This is the new Harris. How are you new? I'm new because of the blood of Jesus. I don't think like that anymore. I don't talk like that anymore. I don't do anything like that anymore. That's the old self. And that's going to get on the cross, and I'm going to carry that every day because I am free. I'm free. Father, I just thank you right now for this wonderful, wonderful people that come to you today. I rebuke the assignment of the enemy on their life right now. Be gone in the name of Jesus. They have a destiny. They have a calling. They have a ministry that is upon their life. Everywhere that they go, they will be preachers. Everything that they do, they will show God's glory that you will give them. Oh, I pray right now, somebody's going to get joy in the house today. Joy unspeakable. It's going to be upon you. They're going to say, man, your circumstances are really junky, man. You're going through some stuff. And you're going to have this joy that says, I know, but my Father loves me. He put a ring on me. He put a robe on me. I got sandals. There's a party. I'm about to realize a party one day. I'm going to walk in. No matter what I face, I'm in my Father's arms. And there's joy. I'm finally loved the way that I've wanted. We love you, God. We worship you. We love you so much. We trust you. Amen. Amen. We'll just stay up here. They're going to minister to you. If you got to go, church, feel free to go. Please don't talk in here. People are going to get ministered to on the front here. Brent's going to sing some beautiful song like he always does. And we just love you. I want you to look. Everybody look. If you're not up here at the front, look up here. I don't know what to pray about this week. Now you do. These people need your prayers. The enemy wants their life. But not today. Not today, Satan. Not tomorrow and never again. Amen? Pray for them. We love you. We'll see you soon.